Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires the what. I'm Judy Steining, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to bring it back as a virtual setting because And now we're presenting it for baby boomers, active retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everyone who is looking for spiritual, physical, educational, and intellectual growth. Since we are all still sheltering in, SPIRIT is the best way for all of us to engage in an online setting. Now, today's program is all about social media, a phrase that we hear constantly in the news, from our kids, from our grandchildren, but how many of us actually use social media and understand how to navigate it properly and safely? Our presenter today will give us the basics to get us started. It is my pleasure to introduce my colleague, Rachel Leff, Marketing Coordinator at the OU, to present this program. I have the privilege of working with Rachel on many programs, including our very recent and very successful community fair. And it is a pleasure and a privilege to welcome her to the Spirit Forum today. Thank you so much, Rachel. Take it away.
All right. Thank you, Judy. Hi, everybody. My name is Rachel, and I am a marketing coordinator at the Orthodox Union, which means I assist on a lot of projects, including the community fair, Women's Initiative, and our social media. I maintain the social media channels for programs like OU Kosher, OU Women's Initiative, synagogue services occasionally, and different, and the main OU channels. So I'm very excited to show you all just a little bit about social media. Let me share my screen with you. Oh. Allison, will you give me access to share my screen, please? Allison, if you make me a co-host, I should be.
Judy, you have to do it, I think. Judy?
Sorry, everybody. We know all these things happen with Zoom. I'm sure we've all been experiencing a lot of new. Oh, there it is. Okay. Great. Fabulous. Here we go. Everyone can see my presentation. Okay, I hope so. Here we are with our social media training. So, what is social media? Social media is a website or an app that allows its users to participate in social networking with other users of the website or app. So if it's a website, it's going to be on your computer. If it's an app, that means it'll be on your phone. Most social medias are available in both a website or an app, and I'll talk about which ones are better as a website and which ones are better as an app. Social media has actually been around since 1997, so it's not as young as some of us might think it is. It really exploded in the mid-2000s, and as of 2019, 79% of US adults have some sort of social media presence, and 40% of adults above 65 use social media. You might hear that social media is for young people, but actually 41% of Facebook's users are above 65. So there is quite a game on social media for every age, honestly. Sorry about that. Facebook was developed in 2003 by Mark Zuckerberg. You may have heard his name in the news recently, talking about privacy and different things like that. It is the largest social media platform, and I'll go over some of these terms later, but a platform would mean a website, a program. So Facebook is one platform. Twitter would be a different platform. It has 2.6 billion users. So essentially every fourth person that you meet on Earth, more than that, really every third person you would meet on Earth has Facebook, which is really just an astounding number. If you think about all the people on Earth, people who don't have internet access, children, everybody. Facebook is available both as a website and as a phone application, like I mentioned before, and it's about equal whether you use it on your phone or on the computer. You get the same functionality with both options. And what really set Facebook apart when it was started in 2003 was the friends feature. You can only see the information of those you are connected to. You find old friends, find current friends, and you connect with them. And your Facebook experience is based on what your friends post and who you are connected to. So that makes it exclusive, meaning you can't just see everything. And that's what makes it, you know, quote unquote, cool. To join Facebook, you would go on your computer to www.facebook.com and you would be able to start an account. You can also log in from this page. So if I had no account, I would come here. I would enter my first name, my last name, my number, a password, my birthday, if I'm female, male, or I want to customize it, and I could sign up. If I already had an account, which I do, I just come up here and I enter my email or my phone number, put in my password and log in. It's Facebook.com, very simple. That's where you want to go. This is the homepage. Once you've created an account and you've logged in, this is where it will take you when you go to Facebook.com. Here you can search for friends, you can chat with current friends, and you can see who has a birthday. Let's go over some of the things that are on this page. Right here is where I can put in my status. If I want to tell everyone I am giving a presentation for the Spirit Initiative right now, I could type that in right here and all of my friends would be able to see that. If I wanted to search for a new friend, I see I made a new friend who's on this call and I wanted to become friends with them on Facebook. I could just type their name right here and Facebook will allow me to search for them. I'll go over some of this in more detail later. I can look over here to see who has a birthday. And as you can see, my friend Elizabeth, she has a birthday and her name is Blue. I could click on her and I would be able to wish her then a happy birthday to type out a happy birthday message for her. I can come over here and I could see some pages I follow. Look at some of these interesting pages I follow. Orthodox Union, OU Kosher, NCSY. I can click on one of these and head over to that page and see some of the news that's going on those pages. And again, we'll look more at that a little bit later. Over here is where I can chat with friends. The green icon means these friends are online. And if I click on their names, I'll be able to talk with them just like texting. And this over here is what's known as a status. So this girl, Sarah, posted a status. She's looking for an apartment. I can like her status, which means I'm not saying anything, but when I like the status, I'm showing my approval and the status will get reposted for all of my friends to see. So if I have a friend who doesn't know Sarah but is looking for an apartment and I like the status, she'll see that status and will then maybe reach out to Sarah. I can also comment to Sarah, hey, I'm looking for an apartment by hitting the comment button. Oh, sorry. And I can share the status with a specific person or with everybody on my, all of my friends by clicking the share button. So if I know I have four friends who are looking for apartments, I can hit the share button and share it with multiple people. Now, a lot of you are probably wondering, how do I get those friends in the first place? So as I mentioned, you can search them in this top bar up here. I searched the name Moshe Cohen because I thought that was a benign enough name that all of us probably know a Moshe Cohen. And how Facebook sorts these results, because there are obviously a lot of Moshe Cohens, is first it finds ones that I have mutual friends with. So this Moshe or Max Cohen has 27 mutual friends with me, meaning we're friends with a lot of the same people. So Facebook assumes that I know him. This one is the next one it brings up, that he has one mutual friend with me, so maybe I know him. This one is the third one it brings up. We don't have mutual friends, but Facebook knows he went to Yeshiva University, And that I have a lot of friends who went to Yeshiva University. I could also come over here and I could choose where he's from. Facebook knows that I've lived in New York, I've lived in Atlanta, so I could sort that way. That's a great way to go through your friends, especially if they have more common names like a Moshe Cohen or a John Smith, to be able to find your friends. This is a profile page. This is what, when you set up your whole Facebook account, the home page is where you see all of your friends' activity. This is just my activity. Up top, I have a picture of myself. And I give over here, I can give some information about myself, where I went to college, where I live, whether I'm married or single, all of that information you can choose to post over here. People can keep up with the pictures you have on uploaded over here. And I'll go over what upload means a little later. And then over here, like on the homepage, I can post a status. This was my status for Purim. I posted a couple of pictures and some words about my Purim costume. Now on a profile, you can write your friends a message. You can see their pictures and learn more about them. And then again, you can comment on their status. So I had 5 friends comment on my status here. People also, this means they liked the statuses. So if you were to pick one friend and you wanted to just focus on their page, you can search them. And every single person on Facebook has a page like this. Again, this is called a profile page. Everybody has this page and you can come here to see the specific information about one person. This is what chatting looks like. Like I mentioned before, the people who have the green icon next to their name means they're online. I can click on one of their names. I would type the message in here just like texting. And also just like texting down here, I could send them a picture. You have the ability to send them money, an attachment, different things like that. And I could just chat, you know, hi, how's it going? This is an organization page. I happen to pick the Orthodox Union. An organization page is like a profile page, but instead of for being for a person, it's for an organization. So here the Orthodox Union might be able to write a post telling you, here's what's going on in the Spirit Initiative today. Up here, we usually have pictures of our latest initiatives or programs going on. And here you can click to like the page and to follow the page, meaning that on your page, on your homepage where all of your friends' information comes up, you can also have the Orthodox Union information comes up. You can have Coca-Cola's information come up. You can have your favorite band's information come up. You are able to like and follow all of these pages. And it's the same as finding a friend. You just type the name up here of the organization and Facebook will lead you to the organization. It's pretty simple. And that way you can keep up with not just people you know personally, but organizations, companies, celebrities, cultural events that you would like to follow. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about privacy. We've all heard a lot in the news, as I mentioned a little bit before, about Facebook sharing some of the information they have, and also about, I'm sure you've all heard news stories about people accessing private information about people through their Facebook page. We don't want random strangers to be accessing information about us, especially because some people a lot of information in here. So I just want who can see what you have posted on your Facebook page. You would come to this arrow at the top. This is at the top right of every page you go to on Facebook, and come down here and click settings. Once you're in settings, you can come over here to the left and click privacy, and then it shows you everyone who can see what you've got on. So right now, who can see my posts? Only my friends. And my friends, of course, means only the people who I have accepted. When I search, like I showed you before, when I search Moshe Cohen and I click to make him my friend, he only becomes my friend once he has approved that. So if I became friends with one of you right now, you would not actually be friends with me until you had approved that request. So if I choose here to only let friends see my posts, then it's very private and it's selected only to the people who I have personally approved to see everything. if I come down here, I could also switch it to friends of friends, which is a little bit wider. It's people that my friends know as well as the people I know. It's not a great setting because you don't know every single person who your friends are friends with. So I would stay more with just friends. And then you can also set something to be public, but or to have everyone look at it. I would not recommend that. I would say to stick with just having everybody be friends and to, of course, to change this setting, you just come over here to edit and you would switch it to friends. It's important to just realize that there are a lot of ways to see your information on Facebook. You wouldn't want to post a status saying, oh, you know, right now I'm out of town in Miami for 6 months at, you know, I go out of town and my house is sitting empty. You wouldn't want to say something like that. You would want to wait till you're back from Miami and then share the pictures of your vacation there, just in case anybody can see. You don't want, God forbid, someone to know something that you don't want them to know. To upload is to move something from your computer or phone to be displayed on Facebook, meaning you take a great picture, you want your friends to see it on Facebook. To put it on Facebook, you would upload it. You would go to, there's a plus arrow in your profile on your main page, and it would say add photos, and you can take the photos from your phone or computer and upload them to Facebook. To download is to take something from Facebook or another online source and to save it on your computer for your own personal use. A friend is a Facebook user who has accepted you and given you permission to see all the information on their page. A post is a collection of text or pictures that you've added to your Facebook page. So people will often talk about, oh, I saw so-and-so's post on Facebook. Your profile is your Facebook information. So everything that has to do with you is your profile. An app is an application or really a program that can be used on your phone to access a site or complete a task. And then platform is a word for a specific online site. Facebook is one platform. Twitter is a different platform. I also wanted to mention a couple of the apps that Facebook owns that I'm sure you've heard about. First of all, I know a lot of us use WhatsApp. WhatsApp happens to be owned by Facebook, which means they share data and things like that. And if you don't know what WhatsApp is essentially texting over the internet. So even if you're underground and if you don't have service, but you have Wi-Fi, you can continue to text on WhatsApp. It also, because it's on the internet, it has more sharing capabilities as far as sharing videos and photos and things like that. And that's owned by Facebook. So a lot of times if you hear that Facebook has gone down, you'll see on your phone that your WhatsApp isn't working. You'll go, well, what do the two have to do with each other? That's because Facebook owns WhatsApp. It's all the same people who are making those happen. Another app that Facebook owns that I'm sure a lot of you have heard a lot about, we're not going to go into such detail, but I'll explain a little bit about it, is Instagram. Instagram was made by Facebook to be a specifically photo sharing app, meaning on Facebook, there's a lot of text. People post a lot of things with words, you know, long explanations of their political views or about their vacations and maybe one or two pictures here or there. Instagram is supposed to be a big picture or a group of many pictures and a little bit of text. Because of those differences, Instagram skews much younger. The average Instagram user is almost definitely going to be under 30, probably under 25, maybe under 20. It's a lot younger of a social media. It was founded much later, I think in maybe 2010. And I'm sure you've all heard in your lives, maybe from your grandchildren or just from different people about Instagram, but the real action for adults is happening on Facebook. So I just wanted to mention those two. And now we're going to move to Twitter. Twitter has really gained popularity in the last few years from a few really notable users. It was very big around 2008 to 2012. It got quiet for a few years where not a lot of people were using it. And then thanks to some notable users, it's really blown up again. So here's a look at a Twitter page. This is a Twitter homepage. You can, right here, Twitter is all about the text. Here you can type your thoughts and you can send them out as what's known as a tweet. A tweet is maximum 280 characters. Each letter, each space, each comma, each period is one character. So you can only share things as small thoughts, and that's the idea of Twitter is just promoting small thoughts. Over here, you can see the tweets of those you follow. Now, unlike Facebook, on Facebook, everything has to be mutual. If I friend Moshe Cohen, he has to accept that. On Twitter, that's not the case at all. If I follow Moshe Cohen, I'm now following Moshe Cohen. He doesn't have to approve or deny me at all. So Twitter is more organization-based. You're going to follow news sources. It's less personal. You'll follow news sources, follow politicians, celebrities, companies, whatever interests you. You really follow them on Twitter. And I'll show you how to find people to follow. But you would log on and you would see, oh, look, I'm following OU Torah. Here's a tweet they posted. And as you can see, it's pretty short, about a responsum a day on new ideas in halacha with a link. I can click on the link and go see what's going on there. I can look down and see more tweets of other people that I follow. I can also come, here's where I can search for new people to follow. I would just write their name up here. Or write the name of the organization up here, and Twitter would help me to find them. And here, this is pretty important. You'll often hear the phrase trending. What's trending right now? What's trending is these are the most used phrases when I took this screenshot on Twitter. So at the time, people were saying they wanted to hear from President Obama. So that's what happened to have been trending at the time. If I went on Twitter right now, it might be trending. I haven't checked the news today, but something going on in the news today. So it's a really good way, especially, you know, we often are logging on after Shabbos, after Yontif, and you have no clue what's going on over Shabbos or Yontif. You can just pop right over here and see what's trending, and that'll sort of tell you what's happening what had happened over the course of the day, what people are tweeting about the most at any given moment. So this is one tweet. I took the OU Torah tweet. Hashtags that he used over here allow the tweet to be searched categorically. The hashtag sign is the number sign. I grew up with it as the number sign. I'm sure many of you did as well, but now this is called a hashtag. And so when he puts in hashtag halacha, I can now use hashtag halacha to search and this tweet will come up. So if I were to come, let me go back. If I were to come back here and search hashtag halacha with no space in between, I would find this tweet as well as probably other tweets talking about halacha. Maybe a different organization has a halacha shiur. Maybe I would find some old tweets from CM Hashas, all sorts of things like that. On any given tweet, there's three actions you can do. They're all down here. You can comment. Let's say I commented, I would click this button. I would write in my comment, sounds like a great shiur, can't wait to listen. And I would hit enter. And then my followers will see that as a tweet commenting on this tweet. So then my followers will know that I am following OU Torah and I'm listening to their halacha shiurim. I can also retweet, that's right here. All I have to do is click this. And this tweet is shared on my page with none of my personal comments. It's simply reshared. I can also like to show my support for this tweet or to, you know, specifically say to Rabbi Dr. Gideon Rothstein, oh, I'm interested in your shiur, but without having to share it with all of my followers. If I wanted to mention someone specifically in a tweet, I would put the at sign before their name. So to mention the Orthodox Union, I hit at, I type it out, some of it, and some of my results come up. And then I would click on this, it would fill in the rest here, and I could tweet that out and specifically mention the Orthodox Union. That's great for calling out a friend, mentioning an organization to give them credit. You know, after this, I could go online and tweet, I had a great time teaching at the Spirit Initiative, and I could tag the Orthodox Union, and that would give the Orthodox Union would specifically see the tweet because they'd been mentioned. So privacy on Twitter is very different from Facebook. As I mentioned before, there's not mutual friendships here. There's simply following. When you join Twitter, you will probably get followers immediately, which is, you know, not a ton, obviously, but three or four, five or six. who simply follow you because they follow everyone. Tweets are really written to be seen and to gain attention. I think we've all heard of people, whether, you know, it's notable people or less notable people who have written things that have been picked up by a news organization, because news organizations and different companies are on Twitter all day looking at what people tweet. And the idea of a tweet is you want it to get attention. You do not want to tweet any personal information. Anybody can see it. You don't want that out there. It's really important to be careful when you're tweeting about something controversial, because you don't know who's going to see it. Your local news organization could pick it up and say, wow, so, you know, this person doesn't like this, and we're going to do a story on that. You don't want to be in the middle of that story, unless you do, which, you know, in which case, enjoy that. But most of us do not want to be in the middle of one of those stories. I wanted to mention before we're done, a lot of us have relatives, whether it's grandchildren, friends, who will send us pictures and we'll post them on social media, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, if you're using Instagram, you know, and you feel like you just want to share the picture of your family member or your loved one on social media. There are actually laws about whether or not you can share minors' pictures on social media, especially if you are not the guardian of those minors. That's from a legal perspective. From not a halachic perspective, but a more Judaism-centered perspective, a lot of parents just don't want their kids' pictures on social media. So it's really important before you share anything about someone who isn't you on social media that you have full permission. You can have legal action if you don't. And of course, there's always personal action of someone saying, why did you post a picture of my child on social media? I'm not comfortable with that. So it's just important to be aware of those things and to make sure to continue to be sensitive to those things, because at the end of the day, these sites are on the internet. Everything you post, even if you delete it, consider it up forever. Just honestly consider everything you post as it's written in ink, it's up forever, and it's important to be careful and to not get yourself or anyone else you love into trouble. All right, I'm Judy. If you want, I'm happy to take questions.
Sure. Allison, do you want to enable the chat? This way, if anybody does have anything, we can ask.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll spend a couple of minutes now. And if anybody has any questions for Rachel, this is your opportunity. Thank you, Rachel, so much. I have a few other comments, but does anybody have any questions? We'll wait another minute or two to see if there's anything. Okay. Rachel, did you see that?
I had to stop sharing to see that, but now I can.
Okay. The term status rather than post.
Status rather than post. So the term status, they really can mean the same thing. A status usually means when you type something that has to do with your status. For example, right now I am teaching with the Spirit Initiative. A post usually includes more content than that, a picture, a link. But both are things that you have taken and you've put on your Facebook profile for your friends to see, or someone else has taken and they put it on their Facebook profile for their friends to see. With organizations, you're going to use the word post more than status, because Coca-Cola or Apple computers, they don't have a status. They don't have feelings. They just have posts of what they want you to know. And someone asked about privacy on Twitter. So like I mentioned, there's really not privacy on Twitter. I'm sure there's some way in your settings to go in and to adjust, so maybe only your followers can see your tweets, but it's not really the point of Twitter. The point of Twitter is everybody sees everything. And even if you adjust your settings for there to be privacy, any of your followers can hit retweet and someone can see all of your tweets, which is why I like to assume on Twitter that everyone can see everything, which is why I didn't show you the privacy settings, because they don't they don't really work because of the retweet feature. So I would just be extra careful on Twitter. Someone asked about promoting their business. That's a little more high level than we would talk about in this class. But I'll just tell you, a really good way to promote your business is to tag. As I mentioned, you use the at symbol and then you can type in a name and that would tag another business or tag a friend. And then all those people's followers would be able to see about your business. And that's a really good way to, you know, if you have a friend or you happen to be someone who's connected to a lot of people, that's a really good way to promote your business. Someone asked about Snapchat. Snapchat is another social media platform that's used by the really, really young. That wasn't even, I'm trying to remember when it was founded. It might've been 2015, 2014. And that is based, it's a whole social media about pictures based on the notion that everything posted on Snapchat disappears after 24 hours. So it's meant to be more silly, more things you do not want to last forever. Now, like I said, everything on the internet lasts forever. There are plenty of ways, even with an app like Snapchat, where everything is meant to disappear, to record, to take pictures of everything that goes up there. So a lot of kids will post, I don't want to say incriminating things, but information they wouldn't want up there because they'll go, oh, it's only 24 hours, and really anyone can record that. You want to be very careful with something like Snapchat. But that's the idea of Snapchat, is it's the social media that nothing is recorded. Everything only lasts 24 hours. And someone asked about a recording of the video, which we will be putting up.
Okay. I think that's about it. I want to thank Rachel so much. Look forward, Rachel, to seeing you back at 11 Broadway at some point in the near future. Rachel right now is... not 11, none of us are at 11 Broadway now. And that's our home base and we're all working remotely from home. So I wanna thank her so much. It's always, as I said, always a pleasure to work with her. Okay, a couple of little housekeeping details. Thursday's program will be again with Adina Siegel on Understanding Dementia Part 2. Adina is back, presented several weeks ago and she's back by popular demand. Exploring some other issues of dementia, which I think will be very helpful. She might go over a little bit just for anybody who missed the first one, but most of it will be new material. Now, very important, if you received an email from SurveyMonkey, the first one went out on Friday, and another one I believe is going out today, please, it's SurveyMonkey and then it's under my name from Steinig J. Please, please, please fill it out. It's not spam. It's not a scam thing. It's something that it's absolutely legitimate. It helps us to make this program better, to improve it, to get what you want into it. We've already taken some of the comments and we're going forward on them. So I want to make sure if you can please fill out, it should only take a few minutes and that would be very, very helpful. One comment that I'd like to address that came from SurveyMonkey was regarding registration. Someone said, oh, do we have to register every time? And unfortunately, yes. That is now the policy of Zoom post the issues with the Zoom bombers. And I will tell you, I register each time I have to. Rachel did, our admin Allison, who's behind the scenes. Each one of us has to register for every single program. Usually it takes just a couple of seconds. So it's something we all have to do. But I will also share with you that it actually helped this program. We started before just giving out links and whoever came on. There were 30 to 40 people before Pesach. Now, total participation is over 1,000. So we were able to track the emails and anybody who registers for a program is added to our email list. We update it with our web department each week. So once you've registered, you will get future program notices that you will then going to have to register for again. But you'll only get one email and at a time to let you know about the program. Also, I want to just share with you, many of you have said to me after a program, oh, I'd like a recording. You don't have to ask me, you're going to get it anyway. Everyone who registers, whether or not you're on live, because we know that there are people honestly on this program from throughout the world. There's people from Australia, Israel, Canada, and throughout the United States now viewing this program. So everyone receives a recording usually later that day or early the next day. It's the link is in the email that I send you. All you have to do is click on that link. Sometimes it might take a second or two for your computer to get it started, but then you will be able to see the program. So you don't have to ask me for it. You're going to get it anyway. All you need to do is register for the program. So whether you think you're available, whether or not, if it's something you're interested in, just click on and register and we're happy to have you. I think, and as I said, you don't have to ask, it'll be sent to you. So I want to wish everybody have a great day. Be safe and healthy, and we look forward to seeing you back here on Thursday. Take care. Thank you so much. And again, thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Allison, for all the work you're doing. Take care, everybody.
Bye.